Good morning, everybody. If you weren't here Friday night, we had a great time. We bar and danced. Way better than Nasty C and whoever else was at your party. So, you really missed out if you weren't here Friday. So come this Friday, boot camp, maybe not as much fun, but be here anyway. So today we continue our workout series. I think we're into week 7. So far, we've looked at disciplines to make us spiritually fit. So we've covered devotions, fasting, prayer, worship, scripture, and suffering. Today, we're going to look at guidance. So our lives are colored and shaped by the choices we make. Every day, we make many, many choices, and most of these we don't even think about. You didn't think about really what you'd wear today. I mean, you probably did if you're a woman. The guys were probably like, what's clean? Well, let me find something on the floor, just put it on. But most of the choices you don't think about. Like when you decide to scratch your eye, you don't first go, do I want to scratch my eye? Okay, let me scratch my eye. No. So most choices we don't think about, but the choices we make shape our lives. But every now and then we face decisions that are big. Decisions that are going to have a big impact on our lives, decisions that might have big consequences. And in such moments, we tend to ask ourselves, what is God's will for me? How can I experience God's guidance in my decisions? What does God want from me? Anyone ever had those kinds of moments? Yeah. So that's what we're going to explore today, guidance. So we'll start by, at your table, just share around with the people around you. What is God's will for you? Now, what do you think God wants from you? I'll give you a few minutes. Don't give too long answers. Try and give as many people around the table a chance. But just very quickly share what you think God's will for you is. All right, I'm going to have to stop you there. So just kind of remember some of the answers that were given at your table. So what's the biblical model for discovering God's will and experiencing God's guidance? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So here we see that the order is not decisions first, but the order is trust in God, fear God, which means to know God, have a relationship with God, and if you do that, good judgment comes. You'll have the wisdom to be able to make good decisions, both for the big decisions and for the small everyday decisions. But what does it mean to trust in God? Romans 12 verse 1 says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, or in your case, going to school and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. So the biblical model for experiencing God's will and experiencing his guidance is to first have a relationship with him. So it's not a case of God is this genie in a bottle and whenever we have a big decision to make, we come to him and we say, oh God, great genie in the bottle, tell me what I should do in this situation. But what these verses tell us is that if we walk with God, if we know him, if we know his heart, and if we have intimacy with him, a byproduct of that is guidance. Now, we'll have the wisdom to know what we ought to do in different situations. But let's unpack God's will a little bit more. So I'm sure we all have ideas, as was discussed around the table, about what God's will is. But let's unpack in more detail about God's will. So God's will is more about a journey than a destination. So I think we would prefer to have a map from God with a clear route at all the crossroads telling us exactly which way to go. But God doesn't really give us a map. No, what he does say is that he'll go with us, that he'll give us the wisdom in a way like a compass. And so rather than a map, he says, follow me. So when Jesus calls the disciples, the first disciples, he didn't say, come with me, and this is exactly what we're going to do, and this is the time frame, and this is how we're going to do it. He just said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm sure they had quite a few questions. Like, what does this mean? What does this look like? How long is it going to be for? Where will we stay? And many other questions they probably had. But Jesus simply said to them, follow me. And the same thing for us. You know, God calls us to a journey. And yes, the ultimate destination is we spend eternity with him. But between now and then, you know, we don't really know how our lives are going to pan out. But what we do know is that God promises to be with us every single step of the way. So it's helpful for us if we think of our lives and God's guidance for our lives, not as a map that we have to figure out with these predetermined steps, and if we mess it up, then we've screwed up our lives, but rather that this journey that we're on with God. Psalm 73 says, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me. Just that idea again that God is with us on this journey. Then God's will is more about character than decisions. So if you forget everything else this morning, remember this one thing, that the most important thing that God wants from your life and the most important thing that we each get from our lives is our character. So who we are is a lot more important than what we do. And what we do should come from who we are. Right? So in the beginning, God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we will be God or even like a God, but it means that we have certain characteristics that God has. So some of those include we are spiritual. Our spirits will outlive our bodies, and one day when our bodies die, our spirits will live on. The other is that we have an intellect. We have the ability to think, to reason, and to solve problems. We have moral consciousness. We have the ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong, and therefore are accountable to God because of that. So that's some of the things that it means to be made like God in his image and likeness. But when we were separated from God, when sin entered the world, that was distorted. And so God sent his son. And as you read in there, Romans 8:29, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. And we read in the Bible that Jesus is the exact image of God. He's the visible image of the invisible God. And so God's ultimate plan for our lives is that we become like Jesus. In Romans 12:2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may have heard that quote, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So God's model of transformation is that we are renewed by the renewing of our mind, that we are transformed from the inside out, and that transformation then shows in the decisions that we make. And oftentimes we put it the other way around. We're more concerned about how our actions look on the outside, what other people might think. Will they think that this is in God's will? But God is ultimately after our heart and our character. And what he most wants is for us to be like him, knowing that when we think like him, when we think more like him, the obvious outcome of that is our decisions will be in line with his will. And that God's will is more about partnership than control. I think it would be a lot easier if God just made the decisions for us and we didn't have to really take responsibility, we didn't have to do the hard work of grappling with decisions, of considering pros and cons, but if God just said, do this, and we do it, and then do that, and we do it. But God's heart isn't like that. God wants to have a relationship with us. God has given us free will, and he wants us to exercise that free will. So God is never going to try to control us. Yeah. It says in Deuteronomy 30, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. And the emphasis in that verse is, the choice is yours. Like, this is what I'd like for you to do, but you make the choice. And then in Isaiah 30, we read, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And really, that's what that verse is saying, that God gives us the freedom to make decisions. And God knows that in that process of making decisions, our character develops. But we also have the promise that we can make those decisions knowing that He will guide us. So we don't have to be afraid or be so scared of making a wrong decision that we don't make any decisions at all. But when we take a step to the left or to the right, God guides us. A friend of mine gives this really good analogy. He says that life, that we always have the green light, like the traffic lights. And often we're looking for a green light. So God, tell me if it's okay for me to do this. And what my friend says, that we always have that green light. And God wants us to make decisions. God wants us to take initiative. But God, what God will give us is the red light. So whenever we're going into a direction that God knows is not in our best interest or that's not going to be good for us, God gives us that red light and He says, don't go that way, go this way instead. So God's will is more about journey than destination, character than decisions, and partnership than control. So that's the first point, that it begins with relationship. Doesn't mean, though, that God does not want to guide us. He definitely does guide us. How does He guide us? He guides us through His word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So in the Bible, we all already know a lot about what God's will is through His commands, both the positive ones that say do this and the negative ones that say don't do this. And in His word, He's already revealed to us what He wants us to do for most of the things we face. And even for those specific situations where the Bible doesn't say exactly if you're in this situation, do this or do that. But the word gives us principles. The word gives us insights that we can apply to our context. And it's interesting in the Bible that the Bible speaks way more about our character. So become more like Christ. Clothe yourselves in love. You know, put on your new nature in Christ. You know, put away these old characteristics, that old life, and put on the qualities of the new life. So the emphasis again is on becoming more like Christ and not specifically what you should do in particular situations. So God guides us through His word. And if we don't spend time in His word, if we don't know what the word says, we're not going to have a clear idea on what God's will for us is or what we should do in specific situations. And God guides us also through common sense. So He's given us a mind. Jesus said that the first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And God wants us to use the mind He has given us. Sensible people always think before they act. So when making decisions, we should use our mind. We should understand the situation. We should consider the pros and the cons. But we shouldn't put aside our responsibility to think through it. So He's given us common sense or the ability to think. Then He also guides us through our passions. So take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What that verse really means is that as we grow in relationship with Him, as we become more like Him, in a way He implants His desires on us. We begin to care more and more about the things that He cares about and to want more and more the things that He wants. And as we do that, as our desires become His desires, God delights in granting those desires. He's also given us things that we naturally care about, things that we have interest in, things that we are naturally good at. And those are also ways in which He guides us. Then God guides us through wise advice. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Now, there are people in our lives who have more experience than we have, who've been through things we may not have been through, that we might be going through, but they can give a perspective to us that will help us in our decision making. Yes, it's important to speak to our friends as well, but we should also seek out people who have that wisdom, who have that insight that will help us in making our decisions. When we try to make decisions in our own wisdom, in our own knowledge, it's not a full picture because our perspective is limited. Other people have broader perspective. So seek out wise counsel from others when you're making big decisions, but also just everyday decisions, you know. Identify those people in your life where you can say that this person I trust this person is wise, this person sets a godly example. So I will ask this person to give input into my life and to help me in the decisions that I make. And then God guides us also through His Spirit. So God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So God has given us His Holy Spirit. So He wants us to walk in relationship with Him. He wants us to walk in obedience to Him. But He doesn't leave us alone to do it. He gives us His Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. And the three of those nine are love, joy, and peace. And those fruit can guide us in our decision-making, especially peace. In Philippians 4, the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Present your requests to God. And when you do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So when it comes to our decision-making, God wants to give us peace. Yeah? But there's a big difference between peace and certainty. Often we want certainty. We want to know that the decision we take will work out, and this is how it will work out, and nothing will deviate from that. But God doesn't promise certainty. He promises that He'll give us peace in decision-making. So now we'll do a little exercise. Think of a specific decision that you need to make, and then just use this worksheet to think through some of the things that I've just said and apply it to the decision that you have to make. Don't have too much time. I'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes to do that. If you don't finish now, that's fine. You can take it home with you. But just think through the principles that I've just discussed in relation to that decision. So think of a specific example. So what's a decision you're facing right now that you're really unsure what you should do? Should I do this or should I do that? Could be a big decision. It could be maybe not so big decision. But it's something specific that you're facing right now. So there's probably not enough time for some of you to go through all of that. But take that and use it as a template, as a guide that you can apply to other decisions that you're facing or that you will face. And remember that the main way that God guides us is through the Word. And even the counsel of others, our passions, our common sense, should all be guided by what the Word of God says. So if that is contrary to what God's Word says, then that's not the way God's leading you or guiding you. But let's look at a couple of mythbusters about God's will. First one, I must pray about every decision I make. Could you imagine if you prayed about every single decision you make? You probably wouldn't be able to get through the day. Like if you need to go to the toilet, you're not going to pray about it. You're not going to be like, God, should I go? Should I go? I don't know. What's your will, God? You're just going to go to the toilet, right? So we don't have to pray about every decision I make. God gives us wisdom, and we can apply that wisdom in our lives and in our decision making. Number two, God's will is often contrary to human reason. So God has given us common sense. Like I said, He's given us the ability to think. And oftentimes His will is going to be in line with what makes sense rationally. That doesn't mean to say that there may be times when what might seem like common sense is not what God wants us to do. So what might seem like common sense might be play it safe. But God is saying, take a risk, step out in faith. But most often God's will is not going to be contrary to human reason. Number three, I must give up my happiness to do God's will. So it's this idea that God is this cosmic killjoy, looking out for whoever happens to be having a good time, whoever happens to be enjoying life. And as soon as He finds that person, He says, hey, you cut it out. Now you stop having fun. But God's heart in John 10:10 is that we might have life and have it in abundance. God wants us to experience joy. He wants us to experience fullness of life. And so His will is not for us to be miserable. No? His will, if we follow His will, He knows that it will lead us to the most happiness and the most joy that we would ever experience. That doesn't mean to say, though, that if we follow his will, we won't have any problems or challenges or trials or tribulations. We probably will. I mean, I can probably guarantee that in your life you have faced, are facing, will face some kind of difficulty. So doing God's will does not mean that we don't have challenges. But what it does mean is that we know through those challenges, he's working all circumstances for his glory and for our good. And he's going to use those circumstances and those challenges to make us more like Jesus, which ultimately leads us to being more in God's will and experiencing his guidance. And then finally, God can't use me again if I miss his will. I think a lot of people will have this feeling that because I've messed up somewhere, I made a decision that had really bad consequences, you know, that God can't use me anymore. But the great thing about God is that he is a God who redeems, which means that he can take those situations, he can take those decisions we've made and the consequences of those decisions, and he can still use us. And oftentimes he'll use those very things that we've experienced, those very areas we've messed up in, he'll use us to help other people in those situations. So if you've made a decision that you feel has led you off the path of God's will or has had some consequences that have set you back, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you or that God does not want you to experience his will and his guidance. God wants to use you exactly as you are. He wants to use all the experiences you have. We just need to be willing to give it to him, and he will use it. Okay. Has this been helpful? All right. That's all the time we have. I might still be busy downstairs, but let's honor the time that we've been given. Now let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us today about how we can know your will and how we can experience your guidance. I pray, Lord God, for every person here, and I pray for their relationship with you. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help them to grow in their relationship with you, that they'd grow in their knowledge and understanding of who you are, and that they'd experience more and more intimacy in their relationship with you. And I pray, Lord God, that out of that place of knowing you, they'd experience your will, that they'd have your wisdom in their hearts and in their minds, and that that wisdom, Lord God, would guide them in their decisions. I pray, Lord God, for anyone who's facing a big decision right now. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd give them wisdom and that you'd give them your peace, Father. Cause them to not be anxious about the decision and give them the courage to take a decision, knowing, Lord God, that as they do, you are with them and for them and that you'll direct their every step. Help us, Lord God, to live our lives every day making decisions that are pleasing unto you, that reflect who you are and that are in line with your character and with what you want from us. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to be afraid of making decisions because we know that you guide us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we continue with our workout series, and we'll be looking at meditation. How does meditation help us to become spiritually fit? Have a great week. Have a great time at school and a blessed day.